take your Bibles, please. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Topic we're going to look at today is that of critical information. Now, people call the time period we're living in now, and it's probably been called that for quite a while now, it's called the information age. The information age is upon us. Yet, even though it's called the information age, it seems like there's never been a time where there's more of a lack of people who have an interest or who know God's word. And even those who do know God's word, believers and so forth, it's probably true that many people do not expect to receive information from God. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, we read in verse 1, it says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." Now, the Darby translation translates this as follows: "And the boy Samuel ministered to Jehovah before Eli, and the word of Jehovah was rare in those days. A vision was not frequent." It seems like it was a time there was a dearth of revelation, information that was coming from God. And we know that when you're, you know, endeavoring to believe God and his word, there are two ways in which to receive information. One of those directly, as we know, is from the word of God. You read God's word, you see what it says, and you say, well, you choose to either believe or not to believe what it says. It's up to you, but the information is there. And the other way we know is via revelation. And that, as we've been taught or understand, comes by way of the manifestations of word of knowledge, word of wisdom, or discerning of spirits. We'll look at a record in 2 Kings today that gives you an example of both. That's the example of Josiah, King Josiah. 2 Kings chapter 22. Okay, 2 Kings, here we are. Verse 1, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the ways of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah, that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, "Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought unto the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people. And let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work, which is in the house of the Lord, to repair the breaches of the house. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully." Wonderful to have faithful men working on a project, isn't it? "And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." It's sad that, you know, the book was lost, but in any case, he said he had found it. "And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king, and said, Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house, and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And by the way, and Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ikaim the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah, a servant of the king, saying, Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us." So here they have an example where they were reading directly in the law of the Lord, And that was what had been recorded previously and was given to them to believe the words. You know, it was written down. They were supposed to believe it. And they had lost that. Now, that's one way. And here now, he says, well, let's go and inquire of the Lord concerning the words that are in this book. So in verse 14, so Hilkiah the priest and Akiam and Achbor and Shaphan and all these men went on to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shalom, the son of Tikva, the son of Harhaz, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. And she said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. You see, information received in one of two ways, either directly from the book of the law of the Lord, or the word of God, as we know it, or when somebody receives it by revelation, as is the case here with the prophetess. Thus saith the Lord, verse 16, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. But the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire the Lord, thus shall ye say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me. I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered unto thy grave in peace. And then I shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. Now, is it always guaranteed that when a man humbles himself like Josiah did, that he will not see what was going to be seen? No, and this is very specific information. You see, they had the information that was written in the law of the Lord as to what they were supposed to do. And in this case, they went to get more specific information about what was going to happen. And the prophetess, this time, gave it to them. You see, there's two ways to receive information. And just like in our lives, you know, when we receive information, we have a choice to believe it. And if we choose to believe that which God has recorded in His Word, we will get the results of exactly what the Word says. Now, if we're not able to do what the Word of God says or to believe it, and we find ourselves spiritually incapable, there's a law involved here in that just like, you know, physical weakness and physical inability in life will occur if you eat improperly, spiritual weakness and spiritual inability can also happen. And that can only be due to having an improper spiritual diet. That is that we neglect what the Word of God says to us in our life, just like those people had done in the times of Josiah. They heard the word and he rent his clothes. He was upset. Well, they should have known what the Word of God said, but they neglected it. See, and the same thing can happen in our lives. We can get to a case of not being spiritually capable or being spiritually able to do things because we neglect or we have a bad spiritual diet. We don't feast on God's word, so to speak. Look at Luke chapter 4. Jesus Christ gives us truth specifically in Luke chapter 4. Excuse me. In Luke chapter 4, verse 4. Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter here. When Jesus Christ was in the wilderness being tempted, he says in verse 4, and Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And our note here, it specifically says that you cannot live by bread alone. You cannot live by bread alone. Now, people, for the most part, will try to live their lives just on bread, physical bread, I mean. But here, the truth works both ways. You can't live just on physical food. And if you were only to have spiritual food and never eat anything, eventually you would die. But both are vital. Both are necessary here. He says here but that we must live not only by the physical bread, but by every word that proceeds out of God's mouth. And that covers both the written word and that which is received by revelation. We need both. We need to understand that critical information to us comes by two ways, either from directly from the word of God or that which is revealed by way of revelation. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, there are a lot of things written in the Word of God about the Word of God itself, and we've looked at many of these verses in the past little while and over the years, and some of the ones that might come to your mind, study to show thyself approved unto God, like it says in Timothy, that we need not to be ashamed. There are words that are pure words, tried in a furnace of the earth, purified seven times. We know all those sections from the book of Deuteronomy where God encourages them, the Israelites, to teach the word to their children when they walk about, when they sit, when they go to bed, when they lie about, and how important the word of God was in their daily living. We looked at sections out of Timothy where, you know, God tells Paul that from a child he had known the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make him wise unto salvation. So there are many, many, you know, and these are just touching on a few verses that talk about the importance of the word of God itself. But, you know, as mature believers, we cannot ignore or forget the importance of specific information, that which is received by revelation. In 1 Corinthians 12, 7, we read, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." The manifestation of the Spirit, that Spirit to be manifested, is given to everyone. "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith, other gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation. But all these worketh," verse 11, "that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." They're all vitally, vitally important. In fact, it's the written word that tells us that these are all important. This information we have in the written word tells us that not only is this information profitable and important, but that which is received by revelation is also profitable and important. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. And here's an example. Here's a chapter, as we're well aware of many believers who believed God by faith. It says, "By faith so-and-so, by faith so-and-so," in verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through believing," or faith, "we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaking." Then we know in that case, both Cain and Abel had received the same information. Otherwise, God could not have said by faith he had done it if he didn't know what to do. He had received the same information. Verse 5, "By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah," verse 7, "being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." And then it talks about Abraham. Then in verse 9, it talks about him sojourning in a land with Jacob and so forth, and with Isaac and Jacob. And then verse 10, "looked for a city which had builders, whose builder and maker is God." And there's a whole section, by and large, these are all examples of believers who received information beyond what the Word of God says. So how vital must that information be if here there's a whole chapter, and you know, this isn't the only one, this is just one chapter we're looking at, that is dedicated to talking about these people who lived by having received information. How much more now that we have the new birth spirit, how important is it for us to understand that information comes by two different ways? From the Word of God, well, information comes by a lot of different ways, but specifically for those who are interested in walking with God, from God comes to us either from His written word or by revelation. Let's look at a great example in Acts chapter 9, please. Acts chapter 9. Here's an example, verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Just says here that Ananias was a certain disciple. And to him said the Lord in a vision. So if he's speaking to him in a vision, this is information beyond that which is recorded in Scripture and the Word of God. It is by revelation. He said to him in a vision, Lord, in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. It's clear that this is not the first time that God has probably spoken to him, if he replies so comfortably and says, look, behold, I am here. The Lord said unto him, verse 11, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight. Now, pay very close attention here as we go through this to the very specific information that God is giving Ananias. Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul, by the way, he's from Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. Not only did he tell him where to go, whose house it was, and who he was going to see there, for behold, he prayeth. He even told him what he was doing. What clear and very, very concise and specific information. And look, and it's seen in a vision, a man named Ananias. He even tells Ananias the vision that Paul had received in that house. He says that he's seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him. He said that in that vision he saw a man. Look at the details that God is giving here. I want to talk about specific information. Coming in and putting his hand on him, verse 12, and that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, again, by revelation, go thy way. Is it guaranteed that a person should always go to a man that is destroying the church? No, it's not. But in this case, specific information for Ananias. For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Again, here the Lord Jesus tells Ananias, by the way, I'm going to be showing Paul other things about what he must suffer. How vital is this information that comes to us by way of revelation? The Word of God is one great source, and it's something that we must diligently study and understand. And beyond, when there's a need for information beyond that which is written in the Word of God for a specific situation, just like here in the case of Ananias, revelation is available. And look how comfortably and easily Ananias received it and how specific it was. God was very clear. It wasn't wishy-washy. There was no, well, this might kind of happen and sort of. No, it was, this is going to be happen. This is his name. This is where he is. This is what he's doing. This is what I've told him. And this is what I want you to do. I mean, you know, it's just very simple to carry that one out, isn't it? Okay, verse 17. And Ananias went his way. There you have it. That's all you got to do. Just receive the information and go with it. Went his way, entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. you know, amazing information that was received there. Now, how many believers, how many of us here today, how many of you believe that it's even possible to receive this kind of information? Do you even think it's possible? Pretty important to believe that it's possible before you ever see it happen, isn't it? And what is it that convinces us it's possible? Just exactly what we're doing right now. We're reading God's Word, which shows us exactly what is possible, what's available. And we read God's Word, we go to God's Word. And then when it comes to specific situations, it's not something out of the ordinary. It's something we expect because God's Word talks about it. And God's Word is very clear about it. But how many actually expect it? How many believe it's possible? You ever read those records in the Old Testament, books by Isaiah, Jeremiah, and so forth? The pages and pages of specific information given to those men? How many believers today think it's even possible to even come close to that? Yet what God has done for us in Christ is even better than what had been done in the Old Testament. God has a better relationship, better promises, better covenant. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, it says, and this is Peter, yeah, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. So he had received information specific to him here, and in fact, God by revelation asked him to write it down. It's interesting here. Do you realize that we would not have any of the Word of God if there was no information beyond beyond what's written? Because in fact, all this was written by receiving information from God. So do you think it's important, that information that God gives you, think it's important? Well, that's how we got the Word of God, isn't it? That record in Jeremiah, you know, God spoke and Jeremiah spoke to Baruch and Baruch wrote it down. The information came from God to get the whole Word of God. Now, how about when we need information beyond that? What's here in this case here, Peter? Was it always guaranteed that when a man named Peter preaches a word that someday he's going to be told that he's going to fall asleep? No, but here he received information specific to his life. Verse 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance and so forth. Look at Acts 27, please. Acts 27. Remember, we have two sources of information by which we can receive information from God, and then we have the opportunity to either believe it or not believe it. And here's a wonderful example of Paul in Acts 27. Let's see what his response was to the information he receives. In Acts 27, verse 18. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own ship the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete. So he had information previously that they hadn't listened to. They had listened to the captain over the words Paul had spoken. And again, choice to believe it or not, in that case, Paul had no option. He had to go with what the captain believed because he was a prisoner. And not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Now, how does he know that? Well, he tells us, verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee, information beyond that which is recorded anywhere. Very specific to this situation. And what was Paul's response? Verse 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. He believed the information, and did that exactly happen what's written there? Absolutely. It's exactly as God had said, the same way as Ananias, the same way as in all other cases when information is received from God, it works exactly the way God says it will. It's accurate, it's vital, it's critical, and it's needful to our lives. You know, there's many, many other examples we could look at. The healings of Jesus Christ. He healed people with the same ailments in different ways. Well, how did he know? How did he know what to do? Peter with Cornelius and the household of Cornelius. How did he know what was going on? God showed him in a vision. And then God gave him more information once he had gone to the household. Remember Elijah, near the end of his life, he was ready to give it all up. And God takes him and shows him earthquake and then fire and lightning and all this. And then in a still small voice, there was that information that Elijah needed. How about Elisha and the other great, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all the great men receiving information as required? This information is vital. It's critical. It leads, you know, you can see all the examples in the Word of God where it leads to deliverance, healing, protection, time and time and time again. Are we in need of healing? Are we in need of comfort? Are we in need of deliverance? Are others? Absolutely. So do you think we need this kind of information? No question. Now let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to close there. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. See, God, it says here in the Word that it is God which works within us. You know, we've looked at many scriptures over the last while about how, you know, we are filled with the fullness of God. You know, we're loved with a four-dimensional love, breadth, length, depth, and height. You know, that we know that God works in us by way of the Spirit that we have. We're his dwelling place. We're filled with God. So, you know, it's very clear that the information is available. It says here, God is at work. God works within us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Verse 14, do all things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. And here the ESV, Standard English Standard Version, says holding fast to the word. The Working Translation says holding on to the word. It's not talking about speaking the word. Holding on to the word or holding fast to the word. See, God is at work within us. However we receive the information, whether it's reading God's word and we're going along, we see